It's time for the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
And welcome back to The Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have with us Bart Sebro. Bart, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. How about you?
All right, Bart. Well, I've been telling the folks earlier about all your things you've done in the movies, but seemed like you kind of veered off and went into talking about the moon. How did that happen?
Well, when I was about 14 years old, I was watching a news magazine program where a gentleman who worked for the space program in the 1960s asserted that going to the moon was impossible, and therefore they pretended to go as a way of fooling the Soviets into thinking we were more advanced than we really were.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years went by, and I became a filmmaker, and I was actually editing one day for the guy who had produced that program 10 years earlier. And I said, do you remember the guy who said we didn't go to the moon? What was his name? They said, call this particular office, found out who he was. And then over a course of about 6 months, I looked into it and found out, yeah, you know, the shadows intersect when they should be parallel. Sunlight would cast only parallel shadows, and in some of the pictures they intersect. And I find out Neil Armstrong has never given a single one-on-one interview since he allegedly walked on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out the administrator of NASA resigned without explanation days before the first mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, there's about a 1 out of 25, maybe a 25% chance, 1 out of 4, that they didn't go to the moon. And I thought that's kind of big.
Yep.
So I started producing the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which you can check out at moonmovie.com. And we were producing it under the theory it might be true. And
yep.
Lo and behold, about 3.5 years into the 5-year project, in meticulously going through the archives at NASA, I found a mislabeled classified tape of fake photography from the first moon mission, which unfortunately is proof that we did not go to the moon.
You say that is absolute proof?
Yeah.
And how is it that you got access to, it wasn't classified, but I mean, did nobody else in all this time had found it, or it was missing?
Well, most reporters were satisfied with the first few compilation reels because they had it, you know, more than enough to do their little story on. No one apparently had ever gone through everything meticulously. I figured if they didn't go to the moon, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time that they faked it. So I went through everything just from the first mission to the moon and certainly found a lot of heavy circumstantial evidence, such as the shadows intersecting. Again, on the moon, there's no atmosphere, so the sunlight's supposed to be about 20 times brighter than a desert on Earth. So they didn't need any lighting. And if the sun's 92 million miles away, then all the shadows from astronaut A and astronaut B, they'll always run parallel with one another. And on our website, you can see where sometimes the shadows intersect in as much as 90 degrees, indicating that it's not sunlight, which means they're not on the moon. Now, that's kind of circumstantial evidence of it. As I meticulously went through everything, second to the bottom, I found a reel. You pop it in. It says, do not show to the public on the screen. And though I requested unedited footage, this was the only reel that I received that was unedited. Now, what was on the label and on the tape were two completely different things. So someone 35 years ago put the wrong label on the tape. And they're doing about 30 takes of a single shot of the mission. They aired about 10 seconds of it, and we've got the hour of them doing the shot over and over again. And as you saw from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, they're faking this particular scene.
Mm-hmm.
Dated 2 days after they left, and all the astronauts are there on camera.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, for everybody listening on the Edge Radio broadcast, I did see those videos that Bart sent me, and I have to say they do certainly raise some valid questions on that. Why don't we just kind of pick the whole thing apart piece by piece? Did you actually have to become a sort of a moon expert, Bart, to go through this, to evaluate things such as temperature and shadows and daylight time and that? Did you actually have to learn those things, or do you have enough information not to even know those things to find out what happened?
Well, I certainly learned those things along the way. The main, benefit I was to the project was being a filmmaker. My job is to make fake scenes look real. And so it was more of a analyzation of the photographs and the film and the video, and looking at things from the point of view is, you know, is this a set or is this really a landscape? And with that insight, I was able to show that, yeah, these particular scenes are questionable, and with this particular footage of a special effect shot of the Earth allegedly floating in space, we, you know, know for a fact that they're faking this particular shot. If your listeners can imagine a TV screen that's mostly black with maybe a little blue tennis ball-sized Earth in the middle of it. So this would be the Earth floating in space. This is the shot that they are falsifying. Now, it's video footage coming from the spacecraft, and it's time-stamped by a computer, so we know it absolutely was shot 2 days after they left to go to the moon. Plus, all the astronauts are identified on camera as they're passing the camera back and forth inside the spacecraft. Now, the spacecraft is supposed to be halfway to the moon, or some 130,000 miles away from the Earth. And they allegedly have one window that faces the Earth. And according to them, it's completely filled up with the TV camera. The lens of the camera is at the glass of the window to shoot this shot that I described of a little blue Earth surrounded by the blackness of space. Now, again, they only aired 10 seconds of this. However, we have the unedited version of them setting up this particular shot. What it proves, number one, is that they were definitely on the rocket. They went up in front of witnesses, which was a great benefit, and they achieved genuine, you know, zero gravity from Earth orbit.
Okay.
The tape proves, though, that they never left Earth orbit, because this is what or how the shot is actually constructed. They're in Earth orbit, okay, which is some 200 to 300 miles above the Earth, not 130,000 miles that they claim. They claim that the lens of the camera is right to the window of the glass to shoot the tiny Earth far away. That's not true. What they've done is they've turned out all the lights in the spacecraft so that it's pitch black. They've done this while they are in Earth orbit. They've moved the camera back away from the window, 10 feet or so. About 10 feet in front of the camera is a circular window, outside of which is completely filled with the Earth in low Earth orbit. You're seeing a section of the Earth outside of the circular window with the lights off. So it looks like the Earth floating in space when, in fact, it's part of the Earth outside of a circular window in Earth orbit with the lights off around it. It's a very clever shot, and had I just seeing the 10 seconds that they aired, I doubt if I would have ever figured it out. However, we have the unedited version, the outtakes, where an astronaut's arm gets in front of the window, and then finally when they open up the iris, and you see, in fact, that they are faking being halfway to the moon. Now, you have to ask yourself, if they really went to the moon, why would they be faking any of it? And if they're faking being halfway, then it's because they could not go halfway. And seeing how they all had identical equipment, it means none of the missions ever left Earth orbit.
Now, you realize, of course, that is a very controversial statement to say that we never, and any of those missions, went to the moon. But let me just ask you this one question, and it just popped in my mind as if a listener had wanted to email me the question, but they didn't have a computer. You mentioned that you are good at... you have taken videos and you've edited them to make them look real. Now, just get this out of the way. You didn't do anything to the film, right?
Of course not. I mean, and it's self-explanatory. I mean, I cannot fake Neil Armstrong's 30-year younger face in zero gravity. Anybody will tell you, filmmaker or layman, that this is the real deal. I mean, it's self-explanatory. It's the real audio. It's the real picture. And interesting thing about the audio is, the very beginning of it, NASA says, hey, Apollo 11, this is Houston. The TV picture looks great. Then there's dead air, more dead air, more dead air, more dead air. And then we hear someone on a third channel say, talk. And then Neil Armstrong starts speaking. Now, according to NASA, only two people are on this channel, the astronaut and NASA. But obviously, there's a third person on here.
You say he's being coached? What to say?
Well, they're being prompted when to speak.
They're cued?
Mm-hmm. I originally thought that they were preoccupied faking this little window shot. I realize now what they were supposed to be 130,000 miles away. They're not. They're 200 miles away in Earth orbit. They never left Earth orbit on any mission. Had they been further away, it would have taken more time for the radio signal to reach them and for them to respond and for it to come back. So someone with a stopwatch at the CIA, whoever, was counting off 1,001, 2, 3, 4, talk. And then the alarm started would speak, and that's clearly on the tape. On the most recent, full, most expensive version you can get, the 10-DVD set of Apollo 11 just came out, you know, 6 months ago.
Okay.
That has been edited out. The prompting of talk is not on there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have the, you know, closest to the original copy, and it's definitely on there. And they're definitely being prompted to speak,
mm-hmm.
and it's definitely a third party. It's not the astronauts, it's not Houston, and it's fishy. I mean, why would they be prompted to do anything? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're really going to the moon.
Well, why?
And this is on the same reel that they later fake the shot of being halfway to the moon from Earth orbit.
Have you, has any news organization asked you for that videotape?
Well, I've given it to some. And,
why wouldn't that make major news? Isn't that sort of a smoking
gun?
That's
a great question. You would think that it would. It's a little bit of an uphill battle. You know, it's like saying I've got a UFO or, you know, whatever. I mean, the fact is they did not go to the moon. It's impossible to this day to go to the moon. George Bush himself says when we return to the moon, we cannot do that unless we first build a space station. So, you know, according to our research, Von Braun said you have to have a space station first. Children's books that were realistically depicting for like 12-year-olds trips to the moon, all of them have a space station first.
Now, is that because the space station has to be beyond the Van Allen radiation belt?
No, it would be below that. It would basically be to contain to ferry fuel. Because according to Von Braun, in order to reach the moon, you would need, without a space station, this is in his own, you know, writings from 1957.
All right.
He says you will need three rockets, each taller than the Empire State Building, each weighing 15 times the amount of the Titanic. Now, the Saturn V is one-third as tall as one Empire State Building. He said you need three taller than the Empire State. Now, he recanted on his math after Kennedy set the goal by just 32,000%. Just a little bit.
Quite coincidentally, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. you know, obviously he knew they weren't going to the moon, but the surprising thing is how few people did know. NASA did not fake the moon landing. NASA thought they were going to the moon. They built the rocket. They were on the rocket. They went up. But there's only three eyewitnesses. And once they're up and out of there, which they were, who knew? You know,
yeah.
The three guys knew. The people who built the sets knew. The flight director, you know, could have been fooled himself. Von mm-hmm. Braun knew. And basically, you know, very few people knew. It was really amazing.
At that time, did the United States or anybody have the technology to view or to track things from space?
No, they did not. The Soviet Union was developing that technology. And at the end of 1972, they would have had that capability. And then abruptly, Apollo 18 and 19 were canceled.
Abruptly.
Yeah. We were going to go to the moon two more times, but right when the Soviets developed that tracking ability, that's when they stopped going.
Wasn't there a scientist that was getting ready to turn state's evidence or something? He had, I don't know what, I thought I heard he had 500 page report saying there's no way that we could go to the moon, and he died and his report disappeared.
Well, you're talking about the Barron report. Which was primarily about the Apollo 1 fire, which took place on January 27th, 1967, where mm-hmm. the crew that would have been the first crew to walk on the moon died, you know, when they were just on the ground, not even firing the rockets.
Well, now, I do have to ask the question then, do you think there was any shenanigans about that fire?
I'm sorry?
Do you believe that those astronauts knew the trickery?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I have a source who knows all of the Apollo astronauts personally. They have in their possession forensic evidence that that fire was set deliberately. And, you know, I trust their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have, you know, I have this piece of a puzzle, this footage that was uncovered of proving that they could not leave Earth orbit, which means they did not go to the moon. They have this evidence that the Apollo 1 fire was set deliberately. Do you think the two events are related to one another?
Hmm. Well, I have to say, in the conspiracy theory realm, that actually lands on your side, or the side that we did not go, because it kind of fits in there. Because I don't understand how that, with all the people involved, particularly the astronauts, how that somebody wouldn't have a conscience.
Well, who knows?
But if they were told, the free world was dependent upon their silence, then of course, you know, they have to swear under a blood oath.
There's a lot of ways, you know, to get someone to play ball. Patriotism would be the best way. The other way would be bribery, and then of course blackmail,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, work your way down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure our government knows a lot about all three of those.
Well, you know, if people go to moonmovie.com, get a copy of the first one, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, it contains that photographic evidence recently uncovered of not only them being prompted when to speak, but them also faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. I mean, it's right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely proves they didn't go to the moon. 4 to 5 people who watched that movie, who previously thought the moon landings were real, reversed their opinion. That means they, you know, I'm absolutely convinced they did not go to the moon. Does anybody care? You know, that's the question. Here we are, you know, on a radio talking about it, and yet it's not on TV. It hasn't made news, and because people don't want to believe it, they think it's too bizarre or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my point of view on the whole matter is, if we have a evidence that the government concocted something on this scale, is there something else that they would be involved to as well, even today?
Well, I think they're afraid that heads will roll, or, you know, then people will ask, well, what else have you done, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we're stuck with continuing to do wrong.
Yeah.
It's what we're stuck with.
Well, it seems like
it was wrong, and if we continue to keep it a secret, then that's wrong also, which we're stuck with doing, which means this country, which claims to be a light on a hill, it's deceiving, you
mm-hmm.
know, the world about alleged humanity's greatest accomplishment.
Yeah. Let me go back for just a second. When you got that film, now, did you go in by yourself, or your film crew go in there and say, we'd like to request this film, or did they send it to you? How did you get that film?
Well, I told them I was doing a 30th anniversary commemorative film. And what I basically went in and borrowed everything and then copied everything and gave it back. And then at my leisure, I went through all the material that I had mm-hmm. copied.
Okay. Were you by yourself when you first saw the film?
Yeah, I was.
When the cover finally came off and you saw that, did you jump out of your seat and say, I can't believe this?
Well, it was a heartbreaking experience. You know, I still gave him the benefit of the doubt. The shadows intersect. Neil Armstrong doesn't give interviews. This guy quits. All these things. Just
mm-hmm.
don't. I still say, well, it probably went, but you never know. Then come to realize, you know, this is true, unfortunately, you know, but here it is right in front of me. It's a very heartbreaking experience. And, you know, to realize mankind has done such a thing, it's you know, full of grief that, you know, does anybody care?
Mm-hmm.
Here we have, if they could go to the moon, you know, would have a certain level of significance to mankind historically. If they couldn't go, lied about it, murdered people to make it happen, I say that's more profound of an event than if they had actually gone, which means one of the great events in history, the faking of going to the moon, that is not known, and mankind cannot learn and benefit from it.
Hmm.
We're being robbed of the truth.
Yeah. And
one of the greatest events in human history is mm-hmm. a handful of people who are hoarding the truth.
Yeah, I definitely don't like that. I tell you what, we've had a number of things come out on this show that blow the lid off of popular thinking in the culture, because we are, as a culture, we are so manipulated to begin with. You know, why do we like Coke? Why do we drive Fords? Everything is being taught to us from the earliest age. You know, why do we celebrate Christmas? Because there's a Santa. Why? We have to shop. I mean, all these things are ingrained into us, and we really may not know what the truth is. And we may believe something so much, but it's not the truth. And who wants to be indoctrinated with a lie? And so I think if we ever have a stone with truth underneath it. We need to turn stone over and see, here it is, whatever the cards are, there it is.
Yep.
So now I guess that may be some of your prompting then to pursue this, and then you went on to make some movies based on this, and you believe then that this is the smoking gun to show inevitably that we did not go.
Yeah, it would be like finding the Zapruder film last week. I mean, here we've had this mislabeled tape sitting there in the archives and no one knew about it, and it shows them, you know, faking a shot in real time, unedited, behind the scenes, outtakes of a fake special effects shot, the Earth in space. It's not. So they're faking part of the moon mission.
Okay.
And, you know, when you see it, you just can't believe it. I mean, there it is. They're doing it. And yet, you know, not too many people know about it still.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, you listen to the Edge Radio broadcast. We have Bart Sebrell on the line. We're talking about whether or not we went to the moon. If you have a question for Bart, you can go to the edgeam.com website, click on Fast Blast. They'll come right to the studio. Or you can call us nationwide, 1-800-996-9638, or locally in the Indianapolis area, 359-5593. Bart, let me ask you something. Let's just start from the blast off. You mentioned the fuel. There's no way that we'd have enough fuel, especially back in the 60s, on the rocket to go to the moon. But first of all, you got to get through the Van Allen radiation belt. What is that, and why do you think that we cannot go through there?
Well, they couldn't leave Earth orbit for some reason, because they're faking the shot of being halfway to the moon, which means they couldn't go halfway. They're stuck. So it's either they didn't have enough fuel, or potentially radiation, space radiation, or the radiation having to pass through this field called the Van Allen radiation belt, which is basically a radiation field, a magnetic field that surrounds the Earth starting about 1,000 miles up and going about another 25,000 miles. Every manned mission in the beginning of space history through today is always below the radiation belt, except going to the moon. You'd have to go through it in order to reach the moon. In the production of part two of the film, which is called Astronauts Gone Wild, I got interviews with some of the astronauts, and they, like, one guy, Alan Bean, says, we didn't go through the belts on camera. We have him saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go through them.
Yeah.
Well, he's right, he did not. And he unfortunately made that omission, that they did not go through the radiation belt. Now, how you can go to the moon without going through the radiation belt? According to NASA, they went through the radiation belt.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called expert of the radiation belt today is my age. He was 4 years old when they allegedly went to the moon. He says, I know for a fact they're not lethal because the astronauts went through them six times to reach the moon.
Mm.
And that's his proof. So these scholars, you know, are misled. Just like doctors in George Washington's day, you know, believed bleeding people would get rid of a virus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So the best thinkers of the day were completely wrong in killing people. Here we have the best thinkers of the day think we went to the moon, and we did not. They were deceived. You know, we have no reason back then to doubt it, and yet they did it. You know, it almost as gutsy as if they had actually gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the radiation belt is basically 25,000 miles thick, and when the space shuttle went to about 350 miles about maybe 8 years ago, the guys could see the radiation with their eyes closed from a distance of 650 miles away, and shielding better than what Apollo used. So CNN reported that the radiation belt is more dangerous than previously believed. Okay, previously
mm-hmm.
believed would
All
have
right.
to mean when they went to the moon. So it's
yeah.
more dangerous than what we thought it was, and yet no one connects the two. Well, then how did they go to the moon? No one has ever put these two pieces of the puzzle together.
Has anybody ever calculated the amount of or thickness of shielding it would be required to get a human through the Van Allen radiation belt?
The Soviets thought it would be around 2 feet.
Of what, steel or
of
iron? Lead?
Yeah.
Mm.
And von Braun himself said that, you know, not only do you have to go through that field of radiation, which is more than likely lethal, once you're beyond the radiation belt, which serves kind of as a protection from solar and galactic radiation, so it's
yeah.
kind of like this shield for the Earth, and yet itself the shield is radioactive. Once you go through it, you have consequences from that, and then you're beyond its protection as well. Von Braun said, you know, you'd have to immediately go into a cave once you landed on the moon to protect yourself, number one, from the radiation, and number two, micrometeorites, which he said had a 50% chance of causing a catastrophic failure every 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they sat on the moon all these days, all this time, and never had one puncture from a micrometeorite.
Do you have the grid, so to speak, of the outline of the Van Allen radiation belt that you have on your videotape? Is that on your website?
I think there is a small model of it at okay. moonmovie.com.
Moonmovie.com, okay. Well, in that, isn't there, and I wanted to ask you about this when I watched that, isn't at the top of the North Pole, isn't there some, there's no, I mean, apparently there's no, like, almost like a hole above on the North Pole?
Sure.
Could it go through that?
It's like a donut, basically, or a couple of donuts that encircle the Earth, primarily leaving an opening at the North and South Pole, which means you could, the reason why they launched, they're trying to launch closest to the equator, number one, is best to get the most efficient orbit with the least amount of fuel. That's why they launched in southern Florida. You could theoretically, you know, launch from the North or South Pole and miss the radiation belt, but then you'd be launching in minus, you know, 60 degrees Fahrenheit in summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened at 34 degrees last time, right?
Yeah.
You also have to ask yourself, you know, the space shuttle goes 200 miles above the Earth. It's killed 14 people so far. And yet, 3.5 decades ago, with less technology in my watch that I bought from Walmart, they went 1,000 times farther than the space shuttle. 6 times and never killed anybody.
I was wondering how they made those calculations. Were they still using tube transistors back in the 60s?
Sure. Uh-huh.
I wonder what size computer it would take to calculate
that. Well,
they
couldn't. There'd be no way that the computer would be fast enough to land or to even really help you land on the moon. It would probably just be a manual, pretty much all the way down. You know, the whole lunar lander thing, they're supposedly in 250 degrees, and they're powering, you know, this camper with air conditioning, getting it down to 72 degrees.
Okay.
For 3 or 4 days on car batteries.
Yeah. Well, Bart, I'll tell you what. Why don't we follow our track here? Okay, let's just say then, okay, you've given evidence and you give scientific facts about the Van Allen radiation belt, first of all. First, if we talk about fuel, then the Van Allen radiation belt. Okay, look, now we're on our way to the moon. And how far is it from here to there? Is it 250?
It's a little less than 250,000 miles.
Okay. All right, so we're on our way to the moon with a rocket with a limb on the nose. Is that the way it is?
Well, it's folded up. Actually beneath the service module. So it's part of the rocket, to the moon.
I really know why they couldn't go. See, I had a Saturn V rocket or I had some kind of rocket with a limb in it, and every time I tried to build it, it'd fall apart. So that's why I know they really couldn't go.
Well,
you ever have one of those? You can't get those legs in there, man. But, you know, but as a kid, you just shove them on in there. I'm sure if you're in a hurry to get to the moon, you're going to do the same thing. But,
yeah.
But how many pounds of fuel is anybody calculated? I don't know if you mentioned exactly, but how much fuel you said... Would it be 1,000 tons, or how would they?
It'd be 800,000 tons.
Okay, but once you're propelled, don't you go by inertia in space?
Not really, because you're always fighting against the gravity of the Earth. But after all, the moon is held by Earth's gravity, correct?
Okay. Yes, sir.
And there's still Earth's gravity at 250,000 miles away.
Okay, I'm going to have.
So you're really going to have fuel most of the way there
To break the gravity field.
Correct.
And it I think Japan or somebody just launched a rocket that was supposedly maybe even heading to or maybe be in the moon orbit, but the way they did it was they did oblong circles around the Earth and kept spiraling out. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, that took about a year and a half to get to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how they overcame the gravity and the fuel problem.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, now it's getting deeper, Bart, but it's going the pendulum is swinging a little bit on your side. We're going to try to find out. Well, okay, because you're not talking about just video fakery. There would have to be keeping people quiet, keeping
not
video...
as many as you would think.
Well, weren't there 100,000 people working at NASA then?
Oh, well, subcontractors, but they didn't know. The guy made the glove, the boot, the door, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're building, you know, stuff. That,
did somebody
that
beam
most of it?
Did somebody beam television pictures to their monitors?
Well, sure. All the computer operators had the exact same data and the exact same television images, and it wasn't only announced a little less than a year ago that the flight crew there, all those computer operators, could tell no difference between a simulation and an actual flight. They were they were receiving programmed information that would say the spacecraft was this far away, consuming this much fuel. It was just a computer program based on clock time. And there you go. So all those guys did not know. It's even possible the flight director did not know.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine, the guy in charge of the flight potentially did not know that they really were not going to the moon.
Did JFK know?
I'm sorry?
Did the president know, JFK?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He knew it was
Richard Nixon was president. Kennedy set the goal to go to the moon before the end of the decade of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson's administration was the one who found out they could not go and were very likely going to falsify it. That's why we believe that Johnson did not run for re-election. Here we have a sitting president who is not running for re-election. You know, it's extremely rare. And the Democratic Party was going to nominate him anyway, and he said, I still refuse, because he would then be at the helm during the faking of the moon landing, which he did not, no one knew would work, might work, might not work.
Yeah.
And certainly not something you want blown up in your face, so he bowed out of it. Nixon pops in, and they, you know, after the inaugural party, say, hey, you know, this is what's coming down the pike. Is it a thumbs up or thumbs down? He obviously gave it a thumbs up because they did not go to the moon. President knew, Kissinger knew, you know, top people involved knew, but very few people knew.
Do you believe eventually we'll find a deathbed or we'll get a deathbed confession from one of the living astronauts that's still alive?
I think that's possible, yes.
Again, of course, as somebody who doesn't want to die with a big lie in their hands. I mean, I think we're pretty far away from the fact that we don't got to worry about Russia anymore. So I don't know, you know,
more of an embarrassment to the taxpayers. I mean, it basically cost in today's dollars $135 billion to pretend to go to the moon. That's $800 for everybody, man, woman, and child in America.
I bet we're still paying interest on that too.
And then it's like there's commemorative stamps, commemorative coins. It's talked to school children, we held parades, they met with the Pope, I mean, you know.
Yeah, school books have to be rewritten. There's a whole infrastructure around that fraud, isn't it?
And then, you know, the government, the trust in the government, et cetera, et cetera. I think, you know, the country has a lot of stamina and could take pretty much anything.
Well, Bart, we discussed how the human could not get through the Van Allen radiation belt. We mentioned just a few minutes ago, for those of you just maybe tuning in, we're talking to Bart Searle. We're talking about whether or not we went to the moon, and he has compelling evidence to say that we didn't. But we were discussing how a recent rocket was fired and went around an oblong circular way around the Earth so many times to get over the Earth's gravitational pull. So evidently, we can get mechanical things through the Van Allen radiation belt. Would that include film?
I'm not sure about film, but I suspect that you could. You would just protect it in lead. And, I think film could go through it with the right protection.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you have to keep in mind, you know, you can x-ray a toaster 1,000 times, it'll still make toast. You x-ray a human 1,000 times, you're going to have problems. So you can send probes to the moon, probes to Mars. However, a human has never gone past the Van Allen radiation belt ever, unless the Soviets did it and failed to report it. And the only reason they would fail to report it is if, you know, crew died.
Yeah. Wasn't President Bush proclaiming that we want to go to Mars?
Yeah, he said some interesting things. One thing was during the 100th anniversary of flight, he said we want to commemorate the Wright brothers' first powered flight, commemorate Lindy flying over the Atlantic, and commemorate probes to Mars and beyond.
Something was missing in that group.
Yeah, he failed to mention something there, which the president's words being scripted meticulously means that he deliberately failed to mention it, which he found out that they did not go to the moon, and he felt it dishonorable to include it in the statements with those other real events in history.
Mm.
He said about going to the moon, he said maybe we'll find fuel in the soil, right? Well, I'm like, you know, we were there 6 times. I don't know what more we might discover in the dirt. He's like, and we, of course, before we can return to the moon, have to figure a way to protect the astronauts from radiation. Well, I'm like, just do it the way you guys did it so successfully when you went to the moon 6 times.
They should have.
And he
some
said
kind
going
of
to the moon is a logical first step to Mars and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't that, who was it, what astronaut was it a couple of years ago, maybe at an invocation or some kind of thing, or he said something in such a way as to lead you to believe that we that he never went to begin with, but he couldn't say it. Do you remember what that statement was?
Who?
I don't know if it was Armstrong or who it was, but they were at an award ceremony, and the way they worded going to the moon was as if they never went. I can't remember how.
Well, are you talking about Neil Armstrong in the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
I was there, too. I think I saw it maybe on Fox, but it was something to do with the fact saying that, you know, if we ever go, where I don't forget how he worded it, but he basically didn't say that he went.
Well, Neil Armstrong made a public appearance on the 25th anniversary, which was 10 years ago, July 20th, 1994, and he was in the White House, and he was talking to school children touring the White House. He said, perhaps someday you'll be able to remove one of Truth's protective layers.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And, you know, which is kind of interesting thing to say, holding back tears about his experience going to the moon. Yeah, I think the reason why he doesn't give interviews is he doesn't, you know, want to lie. I mean, here you have the guy who was first to walk on the moon, and he's never, ever been interviewed by Walter Cronkite, by Barbara Walters, by CNN, since he walked on the moon, allegedly, not by Time, not by Life, not by Newsweek. Never been interviewed one-on-one, never.
Well, even for those who are convinced we went, that has to be, you know, their hero not giving an interview. I mean, because he has to be their hero, then they ought to have a little bit of question about that anyway.
Well, you know, that's not proof. It just,
no, it's not.
It does fall into place when you do have the proof, which, you know, is in the film of the fake shot of the Earth surrounded by space. We know now they didn't go, and that's why, of course, all these other things fall into place. That's why the guy doesn't give interviews. That's why the administrator resigned. That's why the shadows intersect. You know, now it all makes sense.
Have you got any requests from NASA to stop your producing this film or marketing it or whatever?
No.
Has anybody tried to stop you?
No.
Have you been followed? Have you been haunted in any way? Phone tapped? Phone tapped?
Well,
watched from a satellite?
I don't keep up with it. You know, the fact is we didn't go. 9 out of 10 people are good. 9 out of 10 people in the government are good. 9 out of 10 people in the CIA are good.
Okay.
CIA has some useful purposes.
Well said.
And, you know, there are people who know that we didn't go to the moon and that I'm, you know, leading the cry to get the truth to come out. And, you know, it's their call.
What is the percentage of people that believe that we actually went to the moon? Do you know what that is?
Well, it depends. In America, it's estimated that right now around 15% of the American public believes the moon landings were fraudulent, which is about 5% higher than it was about 20 years ago, or a third higher. And, you know, I think that's substantial. I think, you know, when I produce a 47-minute film and 4 to 5 people recant after watching it, I think that's substantial. But just got to get the facts to the people. And, you know, who knows when and if the government's ever going to come forward. The way I look at it is, you know, going to eat humble pie, better to eat it voluntarily than have someone shove it down your throat.
And it does sound like you might have a dish ready for them, so to look at that. Okay, so we're on our way to the moon, and let's just say we've got through the radiation, Van Allen radiation belt, and we're on our way to the moon. Now, somehow we've got to park a spaceship in orbit and then drop a lander and then bring it back up. Now, is that possible back then?
No, I doubt if it'd be possible today. The lunar module and what it allegedly did is really preposterous. More preposterous than any other physical part of the mission. You know, taking off and landing is already a problem, right? It's killed 14 people in the space shuttle just taking off and landing. Imagine doubling that. Mm-hmm. You're taking off and landing twice per mission, once on Earth, you know, up and down, and then once in a completely foreign environment. Neil Armstrong bailed out of the lunar lander here on Earth about 6 weeks before he went to the moon, exactly 1 second before, you know, it blew up and hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And the thing wouldn't fly in the controlled environment of the Earth. It certainly wasn't going to fly in this foreign environment with computers that weren't powerful enough. And then the thing, you know, just claimed that the thing...
Okay.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words...